Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It is 8:22, and this is a big story. Hundreds of startups face a crippling cash crunch and at an extinction level event if no one buys Silicon Valley Bank by Monday, or unless there is some form of bailout. We wanted to understand what the situation is, who are they, what led to this, and what is likely to happen. Arthur Goldstrike is the CEO at Worldwide Works. Arthur, very good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Howard.
Are you well?
All good, thank you.
So can you just, for anyone who doesn't know who the Silicon Valley Bank is, can you just give us a bit of background?
Outside the tech sector, Howard, few people have ever even heard of it. It's the 16th biggest bank in America. But what makes this failure so significant is that it was one of the main banks, not just in the United States, but worldwide, and especially for Israeli startups, for investment or for channeling investment. So not only did they make it easy for startups to open accounts, they also gave a lot of advice or advisory services, you could call it, to startups. But most significantly, they were almost the preferred partner for venture capital firms in Silicon Valley investing in startups. So they were at the heart of that startup ecosystem, both working with the venture capitalists and working with the startups. So in effect, they were playing both sides of the game in a very big way. In terms of the very big banks, they're nowhere close, but significantly, they had around $200 billion in deposits, and that's U.S. dollars. And also significantly, a huge amount of Israeli funds or Israeli startup funds went into Silicon Valley Bank.
What led to the failure? Was this all above board, or was there a Ponzi scheme element to this? Because I'm getting different reports and different the understanding of this.
There are a lot of stories going around. There's a lot of narratives from a political perspective, depending on where you sit on the political spectrum. But essentially what really went wrong is that the interest rate in the United States has shot up to 5% from being zero just a couple of years ago. The banks themselves have tended to stick to around 0.5% interest. If banks are offering 0.5% interest and government treasury bonds are offering 5%, you know where you're going to take your money. That was the underlying dynamic. It wasn't what caused the failure. It was the underlying dynamic. And in fact, it's a threat to all U.S. banks who have to very quickly reconsider their attitude to interest rates, for example. But in their case, they started seeing massive withdrawals because venture capital firms are advising their clients to withdraw their money from the bank. And they then announced a major share sale, firstly, and they wanted to raise funds to shore up their balance sheet, and that really spooked the market, along with the venture capital firms telling their clients to pull out their money. There was suddenly a run on the bank. But unlike the usual run on the bank where you see individuals pulling out their funds and then suddenly queues at the banks because they can't get their money out, this was companies, both the VC firms and the startups, suddenly pull their money out at a rate that the bank couldn't support.
Couldn't
meet the obligation, and they literally failed.
Were they subject to the normal banking regulations of a regular bank?
It's a regular bank. They are something like 40 years old, highly respected, but very, very concentrated in the tech sector. And apparently about half of their business was in that one sector. And when you're that exposed to a sector, any structural weakness or a shift in sentiment in that sector can be disastrous for the bank.
Right. I see some reports that the Federal Reserve will intervene. Do you have anything official on that yet?
there's nothing official, but the reserve is meeting today. The problem is they're meeting later in the day. There's huge criticism that they're only meeting at 11:30 US time this morning. For us, that's going to be late afternoon or evening. They will only know this evening what actually happened. But I suspect things will move a lot faster than that. I think the criticism will mean that they'll probably have an emergency meeting, if they're not already meeting through the night, to decide what to do about it. And the reason they actually take it so seriously is because it is a major bank, and when a bank fails, it has a knock-on effect for the whole banking industry. And in this case, a knock-on effect for the whole tech sector, which is massive. It's one of the most important sectors in the United States.
And so if you look at if you look at Israel as well, as you mentioned earlier, where you've already got a tremendous amount of nervousness because of the uncertainty about judicial reform and all sorts of other things, where you've got nervousness in a tech sector there, where we have seen an impact already for that reason, and the simple downturn, this could really be a significant event.
Yes, definitely. There's in a fascinating analysis in the Jerusalem Post today, in fact, advising Israeli entrepreneurs that, in fact, Israeli banks are far more stable and secure than American banks, and they should be putting their money there. Rather, it's a bit late for those
years
putting their money into Silicon Valley Bank. But there's also a narrative which I do believe comes from a political perspective that startups were taking their money out of Israel in protest against the government's attempt to hijack the judiciary. But that's a bit of a myth, because the truth is that most of them have been doing it for decades anyway, and most Israeli startups are tied to the Silicon Valley ecosystem.
Yeah, whether so they absolutely. That's the end goal, so it makes sense.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Arthur Goldstein, thank you as always. That's where we leave it, bringing us some perspective on this troubling story. It's about to go 8:30.